This is Media Sales Mastery, the podcast for media sales professionals. In each episode, we bring you information, insights, and ideas from some of the industry's top thought leaders. Connect with us to help pick the topic and guide the show.
This is Media Sales Mastery, the podcast for media sales professionals. I am your host, Jamie Wood, coming at you with a solo episode this fortnight. I am not going to lie, I have been to India, I have been to North America, I just got back from Fiji, I've been doing a bunch of trips to Sydney, and it has been difficult to find, not so much the time, but the right environment to record a podcast. So I've got a bunch of guests coming up, though, and I've got a little bit better forward planning happening. So we're going to go back to that cycle of having a regular guest covering a regular topic. But this one I thought was actually really worthwhile doing. And maybe it's the fact that I've actually been talking to a bunch of different media sales leaders in different countries that this kind of topic has come about, because it seems to me that whether you're in South Africa, whether you're in North America, Canada, for example, India, there are pockets of best practice, there are market nuances, but there are a lot of fundamental challenges that are the same. It's kind of scary, actually. It's remarkable how much of the same sort of issues different leaders are tackling at the moment and different frontline media sales professionals are encountering. And to give some context here, this whole topic is very much just going to be around selling in a downturn. Now, I've done topics in the past on recession-proof selling. I know I did one at the start of COVID. There's always kind of this feeling that the market's going soft or things are going to go bad. So this isn't necessarily going to be too different, but what I want to do is give you four principles, four things to think about as you go into the next 6 to 12 months selling in a market, irrespective of where you are at the moment and irrespective of what's kind of going on in the economic climate. These are actually still just really good principles to abide by. So without any further delay, let's jump into the main topic now.
Media Sales Mastery.
Okay, so selling in a downturn, let me give some context. I started my career in media sales at the ripe old age of 23, and I started actually in the GFC. So this would have been September 2009 was when I started in media, and I was initially selling direct media for a radio station here in Brisbane called 4KQ. It was an AM music radio station, quite a rarity in the world, very much a rarity even back then. And it had an average audience age of, I think, 55 to 64 was the demographic. And it had a cumulative audience, a very modest cumulative audience of about 180,000 people. So it was a tough sell. It continued to be a tough sell for anyone who was selling that product up until it actually did its last broadcast last year. Sadly, the license was purchased and acquired, and the radio station as we know it ceased to exist. But, you know, what I think was really interesting about my time there was the GFC, difficult economic headwinds, selling a challenging product, selling a very specialized niche media product. It was actually the perfect training ground for how to sell in a downturn and some of the really good sales principles that could take a product that is challenged and take a marketplace that is challenged and still find some opportunities within that and find some ways to be successful. So here's the thing I think I took away from my couple of years starting out in media selling direct in the GFC. The true test of a great media sales professional has always been, how do they operate in the tough times, right? What do they do when the revenue is down? What do they do when they lose clients? What do they do when the market goes soft? What do they do in a downturn? What separates a good operator from an elite operator to me isn't what they do when things are flying and the market's in growth and they're smashing their targets. It's how they choose to respond to factors that inhibit their ability to be successful, how they quickly adapt and pivot. So here's what I think is worth really talking about. If you are in a media organization right now, if you're a frontline seller or a leader, let's have a think about whether this sounds like your world. You're in a situation where you've probably got less resources than you did a couple of years ago, right? Which is crazy because 2019 was actually some time ago now. But think about what the structure of your team was. Think about how many people were in the business. Think about how many sales reps might have been in the team, how many sales support staff might have been in the team. It's very likely that right now you have less resourcing than you did back then. let's think about the marketplace. Have you been hearing a lot over the last 6 months about the market being soft, about the cost of doing business increasing, about inflation putting a lot of pressure on business, about business confidence going down, about certain sectors really struggling, you know, the building industry, for example? Have you been hearing a lot of kind of doom and gloom type of stuff in the news and really kind of getting the sentiment that the advertising market is quite soft and is potentially going to get softer? Do you have cost pressures, right? Do you have an engagement budget, or did you used to have access to an engagement budget for client entertainment, for client gifting, for running different initiatives, for running different tactics, for traveling, for doing, you know, in the world of out of home, site tours, interstate site tours were a massive part of how we used to drive business. Do you maybe have some pressure on where cost is going at the moment? Do you maybe have some pressure on cost that's manifesting as like open roles that aren't getting replaced? And the overriding thing here, are you feeling just generally like you're getting expected to still deliver the same, if not greater, revenue number as you were, but with less resource in a softer market and with some less cost or less some cost pressures, shall we say? Are you fundamentally feeling like you need to do more with less? The reality is, if you are feeling this, if it sounds like I'm describing your situation, it's very likely that you are not special. You're not sitting in some pocket of the world. You're actually probably just working in media as a frontline seller. This is kind of universally what I'm hearing from people all over the globe at the moment. So what I want to give you is a really simple framework. And this is just some things to think about. These are four things that I would recommend you prioritize in a week in order to be successful and in order to have the maximum influence on selling in a downturn. Number one, in a downturn, you have to prospect relative to those clients who have a need that can be met. Okay, just doesn't really roll off the tongue, so I'm going to say it again. You need to prospect relative to those clients who have a need in the current environment that can still be met, that can still be solved. So an example of this might be, really crude example, don't prospect an air conditioning business in the middle of winter. Don't prospect a pool maintenance company in the middle of winter. Don't go and talk to a mortgage broker when interest rates are through the roof and the property market is bottoming out. Those are some very crude examples. What I'm also kind of talking about here, though, is that there are certain categories at the moment that are doing it tougher than others. You need to really think about, you know, who are those clients in the current environment and over the next 6 to 12 months who are going to need to advertise, who have communication objectives, who have business growth objectives, who have audiences they need to reach with their message. Really think about prospecting. And also, when I say prospecting, I don't just mean new business. I actually mean spend your time primarily trying to retain and grow and develop and cross-sell and upsell existing clients who operate within categories and within verticals that still have a need to be met in the current environment. Now, I'm not saying go and neglect a client that's fallen on hard times, and please don't take this as that. But in terms of where you're allocating the majority of time, people, and money and focus, this is the thing you need to focus on, is you need to focus on the pockets of opportunity in your marketplace that are going to yield a return. And COVID was actually a great time to build this muscle and to build this skill set. I think the level of commercial acumen that frontline media salespeople developed through COVID was actually one of the very few, potential benefits of COVID. It forced people to think about trading environments. It forced people to think about economic flow and effects, about supply chains, about really looking at different industries and how they're all interconnected with each other. And I think take that learning from COVID and just apply it to the new scenario. One of the big things that I think here at the moment that's worth thinking about is think about those new emerging categories and verticals, like those new industries that maybe you haven't spoken to in the past, but that maybe it's time to start branching out into and having a think about. And the thing that I think when people start saying that is, you know, well, fundamentally, there's only so many categories, Jamie. Like, there's auto, there's, there's home, there's building, there's pharmaceutical, there's FMCG, there's QSR. I get that. But what I'm maybe suggesting is that you think a little bit outside the box when you think at a category level. So rather than just thinking about the motor category as being car dealerships or auto manufacturers, think a little bit left of center. Think about auto detailing businesses. Think about window tinting businesses, tire businesses, servicing, spray painting, modifications, car accessories. Think of all these ancillary industries that actually sit around one of these verticals. Start thinking slightly to the left and thinking about some of these types of clients that maybe nobody's prospecting at the moment, but in the current environment would still have an opportunity to grow their business, would still have a need to advertise, would certainly still have a desire to reach new audiences and convert new customers. So, number one, prospect relative to those clients who have a need that can be met. That is the first tip to take away. Tip number two, reformulate your proposition / repackage your offering to speak to the current market need. Again, I probably could have been a little more succinct with these titles, so I'm going to say it again. Reformulate your proposition / repackage your offering to speak to the current market need. So what I mean by this is read the damn room, okay? Don't go and talk about what you spoke about 3-4 years ago in your product offering if the trading environment you are selling into is completely different, if the context is completely different. If you've got clients that are in a scenario where they've got shrinking budgets, where they've got cost pressures, where they've got maybe skills shortages or talent shortages, where they've got supply chain issues, and you go to them with, look at how cool my sexy new media brand is and all this great integration we can do, and look at these exciting ideas we've come up with that don't actually speak to those problems, that's going to be the kind of example of something that's just completely incongruent and isn't going to work. You need to think about what is your value proposition as a media sales professional in a tough economic time. And the thing to remember, though, is you don't have to get too literal with this, right? It isn't going out and saying, hey, we're a lot cheaper to buy now, or hey, we've got the recession buster package. It's more about just kind of understanding that people fundamentally make decisions based on emotion, right? And this is true in a business-to-business context or a business-to-consumer context. So start thinking of like other brands or other products that are really good at doing this kind of reformulating their proposition in tough economic times. Some examples that everyone is going to be really aware of right now: fast food always pushes a value message when times are tough, right? It's like, get more for less, feed your family, and you know, Coles and the feed your family for under $10 thing. That was 13, 14 years ago now, that's still something that people remember. That was a message that they took out to market when they knew people had cost pressures. Think about the one that Foxtel did. If anyone in Australia remembers during the GFC, Foxtel, pay TV, subscription TV product, right? It's very much a discretionary household spend, very much something that at the time in particular was quite expensive. It was quite a premium thing to have in a house. And you would actually think that when household budgets are tightening, that's one of the first things that might get on the chopping block. Foxtel actually grew their market share and grew their subscription during the downturn because they went to market with a message that very much spoke to save money from going out by staying home, cocoon in your own home, have more entertainment in your own home, and this is an investment you can make that's actually going to save you money, right? It's actually not the most logical value proposition. It doesn't actually make a lot of sense, but it very much gave people permissibility to spend the money. So when you think about taking this kind of approach in a media context, you're going to have to think about it in terms of what your specific product does. But some of the things that you might want to consider is, does the audience that you have within your ecosystem, do they hold more influence? Do they hold more purchasing power? Are they affluent? Are they relatively unencumbered by cost of living because their income insulates them from that? Like, do they have influence to still make those purchases? Are they still a market that a brand in the current environment should be reaching and speaking to? Does your channel reach people more effectively? You know, there are certain media channels that are big broadcast reach channels that are expensive to buy. So the example I always remember was, you know, radio would very much come out in tough economic times and kind of make a little bit of a play towards TV budgets and say, look, rather than spending $1 million on a TV commercial and buying all these tarps on free-to-air TV, why don't you come and spend half of what you spend in TV with us, you'll still reach the same audience, you'll still reach the same amount of people, but you'll be able to spend less to do it. Think about, you know, can you bundle and package your inventory together in a way that's a little bit different? SCA did a great thing recently around the audio amplifier, which was really kind of about aggregating a lot of their different audio, you know, digital audio products together, and actually showing that as a really nice complementary offering to other media. Can you even just put your own inventory together in a way that makes it feel like it's a new value proposition? You know, you're getting more inventory, you're getting more attention from the audience. You're amplifying your brand across more channels in our ecosystem. So this one takes a while to really kind of nut out, but it's important to spend the time doing it, because what you ultimately want to be able to do is to be able to go to market and have a really strong value proposition that can really clearly be articulated to clients who are looking for value and are looking for a solution to their current challenges from the media perspective. Kind of leads me to the next point, which is all around solution selling. So number three is solution selling is more important than ever. And I know that's not necessarily like a directive, but it kind of is, in the sense that media sales has always kind of been underpinned by this idea of solution selling. You know, the idea that you don't just go to market with a package, you don't necessarily have a pre-built product that's right for everybody. Everything we do should be sort of tailored or bespoke. And our methodology, for the most part, across most markets around the world, has been you go out, you speak to a client, you do an uncovery on their business, you discover a problem, an unmet need, a challenge that that business is having, and then you go back and you create a tailored solution to that problem. So that's always kind of been the principle that we've abided by. A lot of people pay lip service to it, but there's definitely some publishers who are exceptionally good at doing this, and a lot of them are very good at articulating a problem statement. And, you know, 90% of a winning solution in media sales often is actually nailing that problem statement and then coming in with something that can obviously solve that. So theoretically, if we're in a tough economic time, if we're in a downturn, then actually there's never been more opportunity than now to go and solution sell. But rather than thinking about it through the lens of a specific internal issue that that brand might be having, maybe you need to think about it more macro. So what's the problem that a brand might be having at the moment? Contracting budgets. Hey, listen, I'm a marketing manager. The CEO's come to me. They've told me I need to get the same outcome this year in terms of conversions, or in terms of sales, or in terms of brand awareness, et cetera, et cetera. All my metrics are the same, but I've got 30% less budget to do it. That's actually a problem that a media publisher could solve for. How do we make our clients' budget work harder, and how do we allow them to still get the same outcome with 30% less investment? How do we work with a brand that has a declining budget and has less budget than their competitors? How do we help them cut through the clutter and increase their share of voice when they've got a smaller budget? What about, you know, how do we help this brand drive the same level of inquiry with 50% of the budget they had last year? How do we get a price-sensitive consumer in our audience to invest in a premium brand right now? How do we take somebody who is effectively slashing their household expenditure, and how do we get them to invest $1,000 in what is a discretionary, non-essential item? Right? These are actually really interesting problems, and these are interesting challenges that there's a lot of people in your media business who would actually find it really interesting and, dare I say, actually quite fun to work on these types of challenges. So work with your creative teams, work with your strategy teams, sit with your content teams and try to plug into what the audience's pain points are and what they're feeling. Really try to find those functional and novel solutions to these kind of problems, because solution selling is a very robust methodology, and it's actually supposed to be able to withstand any sort of external factors. It's also really, really effective in making sure that you can actually weaponize, and I use weaponize as a term a lot, but you can actually take your media product and turn it into a very powerful tool to get these clients a solution. So it becomes very, very important that you can actually kind of use solution selling, because what it's going to do is it's going to instill value in your product in a way that is very subjective to that client. So that's thinking about it from the client's point of view. Don't be afraid to flip that and invert that as a sales methodology as well. Find solutions to your audience's problems, right? And partner with brands, reach out to brands who should be able to help them solve that. There's so much research that gets done by a lot of publishers around their audience, around their audience's wants, their audience's needs, their audience's intentions, their habits, their just their general habits, right? If 50, 60% of your audience are, you know, telling you that they're frustrated by the current inflation and the cost of living crisis, and they're concerned about what the next 6 months are going to be, that's actually an opportunity, right? That could be an opportunity to pick up the phone to financial planners and prospect that category and go, hey, listen, 60% of our audience are telling us they're frustrated by this inflation and they need somebody to distill this down into easy, bite-sized information for them. This is an opportunity for you to be a bit of a market leader, to come on and use our broadcast platform to really kind of help the audience solve that problem. Okay, that's kind of me just talking on the fly, but don't be afraid to think about inverting it, right? What are the audience looking for at the moment? If they're looking for value, if they're looking for information, if they're looking for ways to cut their household expenditure, you know, a lot of the time, tough economic times are actually a great catalyst for people to shift brands and to purchase products they wouldn't otherwise purchase, right? And I think of a great example from my own life, like inertia is very powerful. It's very unlikely, or it's very, very difficult to persuade someone to change banks, to change insurers, to go and do the kind of admin that's required to switch over on some of these kind of things that are just these rolling annual policies. I know from my point of view in COVID, I changed my bank, completely restructured my finance in that sense. I brought on a financial planner, something I'd never used before. I'd always done it myself. I went and changed insurers because I wanted to keep the same level of coverage, but I wanted to cut that fixed cost. So there are definitely opportunities that brands can leverage when times are tight in order to actually grow market share and to convert customers. So don't be afraid to take that audience first approach, right? Because any brand or any marketing manager who's on the end of a call going, I've got a couple of 100,000 people here who are telling us that they want this information, and we can seamlessly integrate your brand and product into that narrative and serve them that content, they're going to take that meeting. At least I would hope they would. So that would be the one that I think is probably the underlying theme of this whole thing, is solution selling is more important than ever. What I'm going to do now, this is a little bit different, but I'm actually going to jump into a listener question before I cover off the fourth topic because it feeds into that.
I can't ask my sales manager that.
Hey, Jamie, my sales manager is constantly hounding me to target new business. I've hit the last 12 budgets in a row and have a strong client list that I'm hyper-focused on. I don't have time to focus on new business and deliver the same level of service to my current clients. Also, if I'm hitting my budget, I don't see why it matters. Got any advice for managing back here, please?
Okay, so I wanted to cover off that question, which I got some time ago now. And the reason I wanted to cover it off is because it actually fits right into my fourth and final point of this one. New business is the lifeblood of media. You have to constantly focus on it. I'm going to say that again. New business is the lifeblood of media. You need to constantly focus on it. Okay. And I understand this question, and I understand why this would be the question, because every media sales professional right now is dealing with less people in their team, less budget, and therefore less time. The tendency when you have less bandwidth is that you come in and survive the day and you focus on the bird in hand, not the one in the bush, right? Retention of existing accounts, growth of existing accounts, super servicing the clients that are currently spending with me becomes everyone's default position when they start to feel stretched and when they start to feel like they are spread thin. Now, retention is super important and growth is super important of existing accounts. I'm not suggesting for a moment that those things aren't the priority, and I'm not for a moment oblivious to the fact that it's very difficult to find the time to come in and prospect and go and do 5 new business meetings when you've already got a very full plate just servicing your existing clients. The thing to remember here, which is actually quite scary, even the best publishers in the world, some of whom obviously really pride themselves on this, the global benchmark for retention of clients still sits around 60% on average. Okay, so what that means is in a given year, if you have 100 clients spending with you, only about 60% of those clients will spend again with you in the next year. There's only about 60% of your budget that you might have, or 60% of your revenue that you might have written in 12 months, only about 60% of that will return next year. Now, there are, of course, exceptions to that rule. Some do more, some do way less, right? But that is the global average. What this means is that about 40% of your revenue this year is going to need to come from somewhere else. Okay, and if you're not actively prospecting as part of your weekly ritual, if you're not devoting some of your time to new business development, what you're going to find is that irrespective of how good you are at servicing, irrespective of how good you are at retention and growth, you're going to have about 40% attrition of your revenue. It's going to need, you know, it's going to need to basically be filled up from some other source. And what's probably worth noting is that when the market has been buoyant, when we've had obviously some pretty good economic times, by contrast, this can kind of be covered up because there's a lot of new clients that just naturally kind of come into our orbit. You know, you get new briefs, new clients kind of reach out. Maybe you might do a bit of networking and come up with a new opportunity. Maybe you're an agency rep and suddenly a couple of new briefs come your way that you haven't dealt with before. So this stuff can get hidden, right? But it is going to feel like a pain point moving forward if you don't get ahead of it. So the only advice I can give you is you have to set aside that time to prospect. You've got to be disciplined with it, right? You need to treat it almost like an external appointment with an existing client. If a client wanted you to come to their office for an hour presentation, you know, and it's a 30-minute drive there, it's an hour in the office, and it's a 30-minute drive back, fundamentally, you're not going to be contactable during that time. And that's actually okay. You're not going to be sitting there on your inbox. You're not going to be jumping into meetings. You're not going to be answering your phone. You're going to be very much devoted to that meeting. You need to think of prospecting in the same sense that you just block it in your calendar and you do it. And if you're a sales leader and you're running a team and you're struggling to see how this can happen, and I've been in this situation too where I've had way less reps than, you know, than I would like to have, and I've had way less time in the week, and they've all been coming in running on adrenaline and probably working hours I'm not comfortable with them working. It's a tough one, right? What can I say? This is probably about as overt as I'm going to get. Get in touch with Boost Media International. Come and talk to me about that problem, because that is fundamentally what we do, is we help brands and publishers find a way to generate new revenues really quickly and obviously help them unlock the full potential of revenue in their marketplace, particularly with dwindling sales resources. So that's a big one. Like, we can jump on a quick Zoom. Our proposition isn't right for everybody, and we'll tell you that if it's not, but don't be afraid to reach out to me and let's explore it. But to recap, let's go back. Number one, how do we sell in a downturn? How do we operate? How do we roll? Well, you got to prospect relative to the clients who have a need that can be met. Number two, you have to reformulate your proposition or repackage your offering to be relevant to the current economic environment, right? You need to find a way to take your media proposition to market in a way that really speaks to what it is that customers are looking for right now. Number three, you've got to solution sell, right? But you've got to solution sell through the prism of, right now, that is a different approach. It's about looking at what are those kind of macro trends in the market, dwindling budgets, less resources, do more with less, you know, grow market share, grow reach. But it's very much about doing more with less. And also, don't be afraid to think about solution selling from the point of view of solving your audience's problems and bringing new clients into that and giving that kind of opportunity to connect the brand and the audience in a way that really makes sense. And then the last one, to my friend who submitted this question, I know my answer is a cop-out, but this is the whole point of this podcast, is sometimes you're going to get a very unfiltered, very candid perspective from me, and I'm not the expert, right? I just have a strong view on my experience based on what's worked for me and what's worked for teams I've run. New business is so important, right? If you take the eye off the ball with new business, you're not going to feel the pain of that for a long time. But when you do feel the pain, it is severe, it is sudden, it comes out of nowhere, and it hangs around a long time. Okay, so really just think about new business is an equal priority for somebody at 130% to budget as it is to somebody to 30% to budget. It is one of those things you just have to do. It's no different to exercising. It's no different to sleeping. It's no different to eating healthy. New business is fundamentally a part of every successful rep's week, and you have to make time and you have to make sacrifices in order to do it. So it's a big one. And again, to that point, if you are a sales leader, if you're running a sales team and you're going, Jamie, I just don't see a way forward here, I'm seeing what my team are doing, reach out to me. Let's see if Boost can actually help you as well. So that is it for this week. I'm really excited about the next podcast that I've got coming up. I would encourage you to jump back into the back catalog if you're really wanting more for this topic. There's two episodes that we've done previously. One is called Recession Proof Selling. That was with Nissa Malik. We did that at the start of the year. And there's another one that I'd actually encourage you to go back and listen to. It's kind of cool to listen to now all this time later, but this was done in March 2020 with Josh Bastide from Arabian Radio Network, or ARN, based over in Dubai. This was when the world was ending, when COVID had just started and the lockdowns had just began. And that one is titled Selling Media in a Downturn. So give those two podcasts a listen as well. There's some nuggets of gold there. There's some stuff that I've borrowed very heavily from to formulate this topic. And as always, follow me on LinkedIn, submit the questions, and just continue to give me the feedback on what it is that you want me to cover with this show as well. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic couple of weeks.